And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Well, Dave, Pennsylvania looks to be moving front and center in the political universe. Pennsylvania seems to be the key to this presidential election. At least, that's what the Harris campaign thinks, and that's what the Trump campaign thinks, because Harris and Trump are landing here time after time. Yeah. Vance, I think, is moving in.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I mean, this is the Keystone State, really.
Yeah.
It's there. Kind of reminds me of back in 2000 when Tim Russert held up that little board and said, Florida, Florida, Florida. You know,
yeah.
It's getting to be all about Pennsylvania right now. Although, if certain things break, this presidency can be won without Pennsylvania. I think the Democrats, you know, Joe Biden only had a very narrow path. He had to win Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, and he was losing in all of those states. Right now, Harris is competitive in places like North Carolina. And of course, Biden did win in Georgia before. He was way down there. Now he's back competitive. If you notice, Harris was there this week in Georgia, and Walz were in Georgia. But Pennsylvania is the biggest and the easiest one of all those states to win. It's not the easiest to win, but it's the easiest to towards counting the votes. You've got 19 electoral votes in Pennsylvania. And the Harris people opened up an office in Lackawanna County formally. It's in Dunmore, and they brought in Senator Chris Coons to give a pep talk. I was there with my wife, my son.
Was it a big meeting? How did that work?
The office was full. I'd say they had at least 80 people there. And you couldn't accommodate very many more in the place. The crowds are enthusiastic. The two Democratic county commissioners were there. There was a state representative from who represents Dunmore was there. The big thing is the feel that you get. This is an energized and energetic grouping of people. People want to help. People want to be active. They're looking for signs and t-shirts to wear and what have you. And that's something that we weren't seeing a few months ago in the Democratic parties. Now, on the other hand, the Republicans are just as energized. You drive around and you see the people whose houses are festooned with Trump stuff, mostly flags and banners and what have you. And you see a few cars or pickup trucks riding around with their American flags and Trump flags and whatnot. So it'll be interesting. And I don't think that there's a place in Pennsylvania that isn't considered a battleground anymore. The Philadelphia area, the big question there is, can the Democrats get out the vote in Philadelphia? Can they bring it up over a certain percentage? And
isn't that the nature of the election? I mean, this is not an election in which there's a lot of people to be convinced. This is an election in which there's an effort to bring out convinced people.
Well, it's a base election.
Yeah.
And the question... But and the margins, the undecided margins, are so small right now. The question is, where are those in quote unquote truly independents and undecideds going to break for? So there is that battle going along, but the Trump people seem to be more concentrated on bringing out their electorate, like they did in 2016. They brought out more people. Usually we thought a big turnout would help the Democrats. There, the big turnout helped Trump. And as we've said repeatedly, in 2020, he got 11 million. I'm sorry, went from 63 to 70. Yeah, 11 million, 74 million votes. So he was able to bring out more people. And the question is now, in the last 4 years, are there more people for him to bring out from his base or expanding his base? And then again, can the Democrats?
Well, I think the Trump conclusion is that there are no more people to bring out, and the effort has to be on restricting who can vote so that the Democrats can't bring anybody out.
Well, I think that's a good part of it. That's a good part of it. But I'm hearing somewhat conflicting things from the Democrats. On one hand, I'm hearing that, yeah, we're getting new voters. We're getting younger voters. Don't forget, in Pennsylvania, voter restrictions aren't really there. It's not like what's happened in Georgia. It's not like what's happened in Arizona or what they're trying in Michigan and things like that. Pennsylvania, the Democrats are in charge. The Democrats have the courts on their side. And the mechanism in the office that runs the election, the Secretary of the Commonwealth, actually, it's held by a Republican, but he was one of the commissioners in Philadelphia, the Republican commissioner, who stood up for, clean elections. He wasn't buying that the election was stolen. And the Attorney General for this election is a Democrat. He used to be Josh Shapiro, but he's the governor now. And that's why the election for Attorney General is going to be so important. Because the new Attorney General will take office in early January, which is before the inauguration, but it's after the count in the Electoral College, which is December 14th or 15th.
I can see, Gene DePasquale is running on the Democratic ticket, is behind.
Well, we don't hear anything about him right now. The money, the Jeffrey Yaz money, has all been on Dave Sunday's side, and he keeps, and I don't know what it's like in other parts of the state, but certainly in this part of the state, you only see Dave Sunday ads. And Dave Sunday has a major advantage over Gene DePasquale. Gene DePasquale was never a prosecutor. He's never prosecuted a case. He's an attorney, but that wasn't his area. On the other hand, I was at a meeting this week with Republican legislators, and one of them happens to be a Republican who is supporting Gene DePasquale. I was at a meeting that he held in a get-together with Republicans in Luzerne County back a number of months ago during the winter, and this one was with Republicans as well, although not nearly as many. And I asked him, I said, what's it looking like for Gene? And he said, I'm fairly optimistic, but I didn't hear a lot of conviction behind that. Not a lot of support for that. So we're going to have to see. On the other hand, I've heard two different things in Luzerne County. One, another Politico down there, because I've been harping on the fact that the registration drives are slanting heavily towards the Republicans. I said, well, what are the Democrats doing? What can they do to cut in? And he said that ship has sailed. There's nothing.
That's a very pessimistic point of view.
Yeah. But I did later in the week run into a Democratic office holder from Luzerne County and ask the same question. And he told me, he said, look, we're seeing enthusiasm that we haven't seen in a long time, especially among young people. So that's two different perspectives on this. Only one of them is going to be right, I think, at the end. I do know that from the last year's election for Supreme Court Justice in Pennsylvania, that the Democrats had a strategy, and they knew exactly where their votes were, and they knew where their strengths were, and despite a well-financed campaign by the Republican, the Democrat won fairly easily. If that applies to Gene DePasquale, and if that applies to the Harris campaign, then Pennsylvania will be Democratic. But I don't know. Now, I was also, when I went to the opening of the Harris campaign office in Dunmore this week in Lackawanna County, they brought up Senator Coons. And he was, he gave an impressive speech, but he also showed that he knew something about the locals. He threw in local references, talking about Old Forge Pizza and other things that, you know, you don't sometimes get. You just get a guy comes in and gives a stock, you know, stump speech and leaves and doesn't know anything. He seemed to know about things. And he said, we want, you know, Lackawanna County. He talked about smidgens, which are made, you know, the chocolate peanut butter treats that are made in Dunmore. That he was going to get some to take home. You know, he was talking about that, and I got to talk to him very briefly. And again, I brought up Luzerne County, and he says, you know, we know Luzerne is important. I said, well, you know, there have been two books written about the Democrats ignoring it. And, you know, if she comes to Scranton, meaning Harris, I think she should go to, you know, Wilkes-Barre as well. And he said, well, Wilkes-Barre, even Hazleton. So, again, he has some knowledge of the landscape. Whether that's part of the strategy, I don't know. But I didn't expect to hear that from, you know, a guy from Delaware, so to speak. So,
how's Cartwright?
Cartwright had a fundraiser this week. You know, being his an old and good friend of his, gets very expensive. he had a get together at the ballpark like he does every year for a baseball game, and I went. And he had, I think, the biggest crowd he's had in several years. Of course, it's a federal election year, and he had a lot of union people there. He was taking pictures with the union people. I saw the head of the teachers union. I saw there was a guy from the stagehands union wearing his shirt. There were people from other unions wearing their union paraphernalia there. I think that's important because his opponent has been running TV ads emphasizing that he runs a family business that's a union shop, which you don't usually see among Republicans. So whether he's cutting into the union vote, I don't know.
I tell you something else you don't see about among Republicans. Didn't that fella contribute to Cartwright in his last election?
Yeah, that came out that he's given to both Democrats and Republicans over time. But 2 years ago, on Cartwright's reelection, he gave $2,000 to Cartwright. He also gave a smaller donation to Jim Bognar. But he did give to Cartwright that's a fairly substantial amount to give for someone who at that point wasn't involved in politics. Now, I don't know if there's going to be any Oppo research, whether there's going to be any negative campaigns against him. So far, Cartwright's ads, and he's had several of them, have all been positive ads. Involving, he's got ordinary people talking about, you know, what he's done for them and what have you. So I know the Cartwright campaign's been working every day, unlike the county Democrats, where we don't always see people in their office. Cartwright's people are there and they're active. And that's the other thing the Democrats are trying to do that they didn't do in 2020, and that's go door knocking.
Well, in 2020, to be fair, there was a public health issue.
Right.
We were in the midst of the COVID epidemic.
But the Republicans didn't honor that. You know, they were the ones, we don't care about masks. We're going to get out there.
Yeah, they're the ones who got sick and died.
Yeah. But the Democrats didn't do it. They are doing that this year. They seem to regard, you know, everything else is sort of going to be equal, the advertising bucks and this or that. By the way, they're the big winners this year are the TV stations. No doubt about it. You turn on a TV and all you see are ads for either the president, ads on the Senate race, Casey versus McCormick. You see some ads on the congressional race. And then you see some of the state rep ads. The Democrats have not run any state rep ads in Luzerne County yet. We're seeing the second round of the Republican ads for the two seats that they're targeting, Eddie Paschinski's seat and Jim Haddock's seat. You know, it's interesting, the guy running against Eddie Paschinski, he says, Eddie's a career politician. And last time I saw Eddie, I said, how long did you teach? And he said, 38 years. that hardly makes you a career politician. And besides that, he ran a band, Eddie Day and the Knights. So he did more than just teach. And that was his strength, that he got to meet a lot of people, a lot of his ex-students and whatever. So we'll see on that. But
let me ask you this, because you made an interesting point here about the ads. Ads cost money. Now, as of the latest filings in terms of money raised, isn't it the case that on a national level, the top six money donors to the campaign are all Republican, to the tune of nearly $500 million?
Yeah.
And we're up there. We're up there, Pennsylvania. Two of the six are from Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Yeah, Jeffrey Az in particular. Although he's been targeting a lot of his ads, not on the presidential level. He's been targeting the more...
Well, it doesn't matter, does it?
State. No, well, yes and no. Yes and no. But the interesting thing is that Harris has raised an enormous amount of money in a very short period of time.
Right, 500 some odd million.
Yeah, and a lot of it, more of it is from smaller donors. But you can raise that much from a handful of big donors on the Republican side.
Six people, literally six. Well, yeah, not six people, four people in two groups.
Well, the number one donor this cycle right now is Timothy Mellon.
Right.
We knew that Richard Mellon Scaife, part of the same family, had been a big Republican donor in the past and had a lot of influence in the western part of Pennsylvania, turning it more Republican. This is one of his family members who, by the way, was splitting some of his money between Trump and RFK Jr.
And he's also one of Governor Abbott's biggest contributors, where Governor Abbott tries to pursue his own foreign policy with regard to immigration. The money that enables him to do that, he doesn't get from the legislature. He gets it from Timothy Mellon.
Yeah. But I wanted to get back to the link with Timothy Mellon and RFK, because I think there was a point where they thought RFK would hurt the Democrat, and now their thinking was, no, he was he's going to hurt the Republican Trump more. In states where the Democrats were trying to keep RFK off the ballot because they weren't sure. The Democrats are now being criticized, and that was one of the things that RFK Jr. Emphasized when he endorsed Trump. He said, the Democrats are against democracy. They try to keep me off the ballot. And when he withdrew, though, the interesting part was he withdrew only in some states from the ballots, Pennsylvania being one of them. Some of the states he cannot withdraw from, that they've locked him in. I believe Wisconsin is one of those states. But his, what people thought all along was that he was a stalking horse, a dark horse for Trump, seems to have been playing out. If you remember, was it his campaign manager spilled the beans about 2 months ago, saying that they wanted to help Trump win? She made that statement somewhere.
I just I can't figure him out.
Well, he fits what Tim Walz talks about, the word weird. and there's going to be ultimately there's going to be a question as to whether or not he's going to have any influence. Remember, he was polling in the high teens at one point.
Right.
As of his withdrawal, he was under 5%, and in some polls only down to 2%. The question is, in Pennsylvania, 2% could make a difference. The other candidates don't seem to really matter much. Jill Stein this year has no money, and she doesn't seem to be attracting a lot of votes. Cornel West got bumped off the ballot in Pennsylvania. So there's, and the Libertarian, nobody knows his name. No Labels didn't post a candidate. So
they posted a candidate for some row offices.
Yeah.
Two candidates.
Yeah. So that idea is a flop. It's going to be head to head, Harris and Trump in Pennsylvania. And, I think the Democrats are getting the idea that of Fetterman, that every county, every vote, they're supposed to have some sort of a rural push. I know you don't really see it in Susquehanna County. I heard that there's some in Wyoming County and Pike County in particular, that they know they may not win, but they can cut the margins.
Well, that's the effort. The effort is not to kid yourself into thinking you can carry the county, but to see if you can get more than you've gotten before. Cut the Republican margin of feed, and if you can get 5% more, that's a victory. And 5% ought to be doable.
That's a lot. Yeah. It's the Democrats are, if they win, are going to win with maybe a dozen, maybe 15 out of 67 counties in Pennsylvania. You know, you'll have Philadelphia, you'll have Allegheny County, you'll have the four collar counties. You'll have maybe Dauphin County, where Harrisburg is. If they're lucky, they'll get Erie County. They'll get Lackawanna County. And we'll see where, like Berks and Lehigh County and Monroe County wind up. I think they can get Monroe County, which is Stroudsburg, Berks being Redding, which has gone more Hispanic.
What's Allegheny County? I mean, what's, I'm sorry, Allentown?
Allentown is Lehigh.
Lehigh.
Allentown is Lehigh. They have a huge Hispanic population as well.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see. And, of course, Susan Wild is counting on that down there. She's the congresswoman that they've, she's always had very tight races.
And what about Scott Perry? What counties is his district?
Scott Perry is what, New York, Lancaster? And he's, not so much in the presidential race, but he could get beat down there. He's the polling right now has it almost the same as Harris-Trump. You know, it's a 48-47 polling down there. And the Democrat seems to maybe be a little bit ahead. She has name recognition. She was in television broadcasting. And he's got, he's got issue problems. tell us, Scott, why did you ask for a pardon from Donald Trump?
Right. Is she hitting that campaign that way?
I don't know. I'm not familiar with it. I would think that she is. But I think that everybody's kind of marshaling their resources for after Labor Day. So we're starting next week, you're going to start seeing a lot of stuff. Once the kids go back to school, things start normalizing, people come back from vacation, they'll start seeing things.
Well, that brings us to Kamala Harris's interview, which presumably will kind of set the stage for the next phase of the election. But the next phase may be the last phase. So what did you think of the interview?
It was sort of no harm, no foul. I don't think it did a lot to move the needle.
Maybe that's good.
Yeah, I mean, she didn't make any errors.
That's very good.
Yeah, it's very good. She didn't come up with anything much very new. They asked her that one question about being black, and she kind of took the high road. She said, same old playbook, next question.
Right.
Then even took Dana Bash aback. she said, is that it? She said, yeah, that's it, next question. So she had a chance to talk about race, and she passed on it.
Is that good or bad?
We'll see. I don't think she wants to make that the focus of the overt campaign.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are going to be places like in North Philadelphia where it's going to be part of the campaign, but not, you know, and the issue is not so much is she black, it's will black men support a black woman? The black women, that's the one thing that I'm hearing is that if there's new registrations, it's heavily with women and particularly black women registering Democratic. That's where they're picking up votes.
On the other side of it, and speaking of women, Donald Trump seems to be tripping all over his tongue this week on the abortion issue. I mean, you can figure out what his position is, it's because you figured it out over the last 5 minutes based on what he said 6 minutes ago, because he keeps changing.
To say tomorrow, well, it's not only that, but the IVF movement. Now,
which he doesn't understand.
Yeah. But, you know, the absolutists, the anti-Roe, the anti-abortion absolutists, they're listening, and they're starting to wonder. And I don't think, for the real absolutists, they're going to find it disheartening that he's sort of backing off things. On the other hand, I think most of them are going to say, well, he's just saying this because he has to get reelected. And he's really with us. He's the one that gave us Dobbs. He's the one that gave us the Supreme Court. So we're going to give him a pass on that. Whether or not there's going to be some that are going to have pause and maybe sit out the election, they won't vote for Harris. The only question is there going to be any significant numbers of the pro-life, quote-unquote pro-life movement that say, wait a minute, Donald Trump is not with us again. I don't know. I'm not betting on it. I'm not betting on it. But, Trump is not beyond lying about his position.
Oh, come on.
I've been getting mailers this week in our house about how he's so great for Social Security and Medicare, which he's attacked in the past and said he's going to get rid of or cut or what have you. And now he's on the mailers. You think he's the great champion, and Kamala Harris is the danger to it.
When he was president, in the years that he was president, 3 million Americans lost health insurance, directly attributable to his campaigning against the Obamacare law. When Biden took over, those 2 million and another million regained their insurance, all because Biden's administration made it easier to register as the law intended it to be, and people did register. And public health and the health of the public increased.
Yeah. And don't forget, when the COVID epidemic hit and people lost their jobs, they lost their health insurance on that.
That's
and
right.
The only place they could go was to the ACA.
That's right. All right. Well, the campaign kicks off kind of officially next week.
Right. And I'm going to be down at La Festa Italiana, the big event in Lackawanna County, where there will probably be over this weekend, 3 or 4 days, 100,000 people. And we'll see what it looks like. If there's campaigning going on down there. I know Bob Bolas has a truck down there with his nonsense.
Bob Bolas, the guy whose truck is festooned with Trump banners.
Well, yeah, and freedom is not free and whatever.
Right.
He had to quickly change the back of the truck to have Harris instead of Biden.
He's out of jail now, right?
Oh, he's been out for a while, at least for the time being.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Don't get caught. Don't get trampled. Don't drink too much wine, and we'll see you next week.
But I can drink too much pizza or eat too much pizza. So.
You could do that. You could do that.
All right.
All right.
Have a good week.
You too.
See you next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.